So today I'm going to be talking about what is the second of three studies that we've been doing at Columbia regarding smartphone or mobile-based apps that gay and bisexual men use for sexual partnering. This one's based on an R21 funded NIH grant that we've received, and of course, as you'll quickly realize from the data I'm discussing, none of this would have happened without a huge team of fabulous students and collaborators. So I'm sure to this audience I have do not have to discuss what a smartphone and smartphone apps are, but just in case any of you have been hiding under a rock, we're specifically focusing on smartphones, which are cellular telephones that allow for the download of these apps. These smartphones are highly popular and highly available, with 91% of Americans owning a cellular phone, so then 56% own a smartphone, and that's comparable to about the same number as those who own a laptop or a desktop computer. Gay men are in particular early adopters of smartphone technologies, and this has provided men with a new venue for sexual partnering, specifically these sexual partnering apps such as Grindr. So these mobile apps are designed for sexual partnering, and specifically they make use of the GPS technology in the phone to allow men to find partners who are geographically closest. And the first was launched in 2009, was Grindr. They have 3 million users worldwide, 60,000 in New York City alone, where this study was conducted. But since 2009, we've had a whole host of new apps that have imitated the Grindr model. Okay. Now, in terms of research that's been looking at these apps, Grove et al. Has found that 72% of MSM recruited from bars and bathhouses owned a smart device, but they didn't look at how many were using a mobile app for sexual partnering. So our hypothesis has been in this line of research is these mobile apps could result in more sexual partners because it's easy and convenient to find partners close by. It can lead to fewer men frequenting traditional sexual partnering venues, and it could facilitate greater risk, specifically because of the lack of communication that is enabled through these mobile technologies. But the existing research at this point has only used samples of men who were recruited from Grindr itself using Grindr pop-up ads. And they're great research that has really given us some insights. But the problem with them, with the existing studies, it's really unknown whether those men are doing anything different in terms of what they do with their partners met on apps and what do they do with partners met in other venues. Because if they're all on apps, there's no comparison group. Okay, so the limitations of the existing research, if you're recruiting all of your sample from mobile apps, it's restricted only to app users, so there's no comparison group. So it can't answer questions about whether the apps are used more or less than other venues, because the apps are 100% of your sample. It overrepresents the apps, and it underrepresents users of other venues, potentially. And it can't answer questions about whether they're associated with more or less risk than those of other venues. So we've taken a different approach. Instead of recruiting through the apps, specifically we've made use of street intercept surveys, where we have where we actively approach men on the streets. And so that reduces the self-referral bias that's inherent in clicking on app-based banner ads. It does not overrepresent those who are frequent app users. It doesn't or that are, you know, bar attenders or internet users or someplace else that you might recruit them from. And wherever you recruit, you're going to overrepresent. So it also doesn't underrepresent men who are partnered, sexually inactive, monogamous, et cetera. And it also doesn't limit you to a specific app. So the existing research is all use Grindr, whereas we're able to look at users of all different sexual partnering apps, which I've already kind of talked about. So in 2013, our staff go out, and we stopped every pedestrian in the West Village, Hell's Kitchen, and Chelsea in Manhattan. The specific locations, a la the corners that we were stopping men, were systematically buried, so we would get different men from different locations. We approached men regardless of whether we thought they were age eligible, or regardless of their ethnicity or their perceived sexual orientation, and they received a Metro card worth $2.50 for doing our quick street intercept survey. All they had to do was they had to be 18 and older, male identified, and have had sex with men in the past year. There was no exclusion based on having owned a smartphone, being gay identified, or they could also have sex with women, etc. And so we ended up doing surveys with 617 men. The average age was about 38, primarily gay, but we also had a large sample of bisexual behavior. Over half white, but still a sizable number of ethnically diverse sample. Although we recruited in those three particular neighborhoods, only 28% of the men recruited were actually from those neighborhoods. And so we're actually representing the overwhelming majority of neighborhoods in New York City. And a little over 12% were HIV positive. So in terms of what is the prevalence of these smartphone apps, we found that almost 86% currently owned a smartphone. Of those, 44% had used a GPS-based mobile app designed to meet partners, the most popular of which was Grindr, but also using a variety of others. 29% of our MSM had met someone through the apps, 25% had in-person sex, but only 7% had anal sex without a condom with a man met through the apps themselves. Okay? So if we start comparing different venues, we also assess what they did with all their with partners met in all the other venues. So if we look at the comparison between what they did with partners met in one venue and what did they do with partners met in other venues, what we see is we actually had more partners met in bars and clubs than what we found from apps or the internet. And in terms of the average number of partners, it was the same number of partners on average between bars, internet websites, and apps, with fewer met in bathhouses and sex parties. In terms of anal sex, we saw more anal sex with bar partners than we did with internet or app partners. And in terms of UAI, we saw a very similar percentage of anal sex without a condom in all three venues. So who is more likely to be using these apps? There are some consistent demographic issues in terms of younger men are using them, gay identified men. MSM are more likely than our MSMW. White, Latino, and Asian men are more likely than black men. Also, men who used other sexual partnering venues, like websites or from bars, were more likely to also be using the apps. So we see a clustering of if you use one venue, you're more likely to use other venues. And then single men were also more likely. In terms of risk, we see a very similar pattern. Again, younger men, gay-identified men, men who used websites, men who used bathhouses, and men who used sex parties were more likely to have UAI with a partner met through the app. So if you use, again, you used multiple venues, you're more likely to have UAI with those, with the app partners as well. Okay? So in terms of this study and our findings, it demonstrates the feasibility of using a street intercept methodology to recruit more probability-based samples of MSM. And this is particularly useful for us when you want a more representative sample that doesn't overrepresent one particular recruitment website or recruitment app, so that you can estimate the true prevalence of who is using or how many people are using particular apps or websites. And despite recruiting in just our three neighborhoods, again, we found that we were still representing a large majority of other neighborhoods as well. We had really high rates of survey completion, meaning if a man stopped and agreed to participate in the study, they completed the survey all the way till the end. We didn't have hardly any men who discontinued the survey. We had lots who were too busy to actually stop for us, but for those who stopped, we had no missing data because these were interview-administered surveys. So our team actually holds the clipboard, asks the participants. So we had no missing data that you might have in self-administered surveys. This being said, as you can see, as you can imagine, it is a labor-intensive type of survey methodology. The findings also demonstrate that our mobile apps are a common method for men to meet partners, but it has not replaced other methods of meeting sexual partners, like bars and like traditional internet websites. Okay, great. Because there was no difference between apps, bars, and the websites, either in the number of partners or in the prevalence of UAI, that suggests that the apps really have not dramatically altered our sexual landscape in terms of HIV risk behaviors relative to existing venues. And that makes sense if you think about the fact that the men who were using these apps were also more likely to be using websites and bars and other places as well. So that suggests to us that for HIV prevention efforts, we shouldn't be refocusing all of our attention specifically onto apps, but that we need to include the apps as an additional intervention location, along with our existing interventions going on in bars and websites. In terms of there are some groups that are at high risk, and indeed those are good things that we're looking into. In terms of younger gay identified single and non-black men, we're more likely, so we're looking into that. Then also the men who use multiple venues were more likely to use the apps as well, again suggesting that it's having multiple venues rather than the apps themselves that is maybe contributing to frequent partners and UAI. Okay, that's it. Okay.
We have time for some questions, if anyone has questions for Dr. Sessong.
I have a two-part question. The first one was, were the surveys carried out on the street, or is it in a random location?
Yes, they're completed on the street. What we do is we select locations that are busy enough to be efficient in getting men, but not so busy that we're going to have lots of traffic of people like getting in the way of the busyness of Manhattan streets. And then we take each individual, we have a team that's out, we'll take them off to the side, kind of away from whatever, out of the kind of the traffic, and do the survey right then and there. Yes. Right. The existing literature suggests is that in terms that yes, that is a concern, but in terms of interviewer administered work, it happens. We do it all the time. It's. I think there's a trade-off that we have to think about in terms of missing data or incomplete data, and what's the trade-off in terms of potentially, social desirability reporting. I think, men in New York on the streets of Manhattan, it's less of an issue than it might be in other locations where you might try this. But so I don't have any way of externally validating that kind of work, although, we are kind of seeing what we would think would be a consistent pattern that would suggest some validity to what they're saying. We did not do anything in terms of repeat responders. There was no identifying information or way to identify them, like an IP address that you might be able to do in a web survey. This being said, we do have, it was kind of the same team that was out pretty regularly, and so we did have a communication system that was like, so the way Street Intercept works is there's a key team leader who says, okay, you go get him, you next one, Jose, you're next, him. And the team leader actually can keep track of who has already passed by the street in that individual session. So there is something to that, but we can't guarantee that didn't occur. 3 months. Oh, how 2 years ago.
I know, right?
It's all Hell's Kitchen now.
Just as to whether or not it was like, we don't want the crowd going to the bar or coming
right
from the bar, or let's get how you sort of figure
mm-hmm
out where to stand.
Yeah, so we would specifically not stand anywhere near the bars themselves, but we were attentive to where specific places were where we might get a sufficient amount of cross traffic to actually obtain the sample.
Any last questions? The final question?
Oh yes, we use a whole I guess I didn't mention that. My bad. We have a whole time-space sampling methodology. Not in terms of which we randomized which of the three neighborhoods and what time of day we would be going out to.
Okay. Your final question.
Because it's a street intercept survey, it has to be very, very short. So it's only about a 10-minute survey if they were eligible for every single question and had every single venue, and so had follow-up questions for every single venue. So we don't have any questions about substance use.
All right. Any follow-up questions we can get to at the end?
Yep.
Thank you.